Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. CAG's home debut day is what it is on this show. That's for sure.
You're in your CAG shirt?
Yep. You're in your
Vinny and CAG shirt. Custom made. So he's like, hey, can I order that somewhere? I'm like, literally, there's two of these in existence.
That's it.
These are them. I have no intention to start a t-shirt business. So this is it.
Yeah, it's screen printed. It's like in 1999 when you got the thing with your HP DeskJet printer and you could have made your own t-shirts. That's basically what that is.
Pretty much.
That's basically what that shirt is.
Pretty much anytime we have a shirt idea, I'm convinced the show needs a cricket machine, you know?
Just make one right here in the studio.
We almost need our own. We'll just do it here on the side.
Just random ideas that come up. We will talk plenty about Jack Caglione, who will make his Kauffman Stadium debut tonight, 6:40. Of course, Vern's On Deck show at 5:30. Looking forward to heading out there. We'll get to that. Also coming up in about 30 minutes, Jonathan Katz over at Fox 4 going to join us. He is in Jefferson City. This continues to be a big week on the stadium bill front. The bill is in the House currently, and we'll get the latest on what's going on there and the chances of it passing this week. And then if it passes, what actually happens next and what likelihood does it keep the Chiefs or Royals in Missouri if the bill passes? What's the likelihood there? So Jonathan Katz from Fox 4 going to join us in about 30 minutes or so. Video stream up and running. Make sure you check it out as well if you do want to see the shirts, or you know about the CAG shirt, but if you want to see Cody's shirt, I guess.
And again, it
Facebook,
says
Twitch.
Meatballs go pasta la vista.
Jeez,
with a picture of Jack Caglione and Vinny Pasquantino in like white A shirts. I think it's a good looking shirt. Look, I even included the 96.5 logo, you know?
Yeah.
I put the little 96.5 logo on there. I didn't have to do that.
I don't know. Yeah, I would not do that if I were you moving forward based on recent conversations.
Because this is like bootleg merch, essentially.
I would not put the station logo on that in the future, maybe. But no, you can watch us on video. Happy CAG's home debut day to everybody out there. 913-586-7965. The Jays Southland tow service text line. We also might have a special guest joining us on the 1 o'clock hour today. Still working on confirmation on that. Someone that will give us a different way to talk about CAGs, I think, kind of a fun way. You want to be listening in the 1 o'clock hour. I'll just leave it at that. So hopefully that comes together. Still working on that throughout the day today. But what do you think it's going to be like tonight, man? Because we have been at multiple debuts before. I'm sure a lot of you listening have, whether it's Royals and whether it's just in Kansas City sports too. Whether it was, you remember the first day in game you went to watch Patrick Mahomes play for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, those are memories that you all have. If you're someone in our audience that remembers even in the 70s or 80s with some older Royals players as well, right? You probably remember those debuts, especially if you were there for George Brett's debut, whatever it may be. So what do you think tonight's going to be like? Because I don't know about you, driving in today, I was kind of picturing what it might be like tonight, because we know there's going to probably be 30,000 plus.
Actually kind of disappointed if it's only 24 or 25.
Yeah, I don't have confirmation on ticket numbers, but I'm with you where I'm thinking 30 plus tonight. I know it's a Tuesday night, but it's buck night or dollar dog night, I think it is. Weather's going to be great. It's going to be warm, but no rain. It's going to be summer weather. You're going to have the Yankees in town. And of course, it's Cags' home debut. So his first opportunity when he's on deck.
Ideally, with the bases loaded in the bottom of the first inning.
You're going to already sense the energy change in the building the minute he's on the on-deck circle. And then when the PA announcement happens, now batting Jack Caglione, everybody's on their feet. It's going to be loud. I wonder if he does the time, if the ump does the, I'm going to clean off the plate here a little bit so he can get a little more time. I wonder if we get a little bit of that. I wonder if we get a little bit of that before he actually truly steps in the batter's box. If the ump gives him a second.
I think that they probably will. He had openly admitted he was more looking forward to this than almost his major league debut. Because it's kind of a bigger deal because they're all for you. And look, he had a good contingent out there in St. Louis.
Well, this is
the proximity certainly helped. There were a lot of blue, a lot of Royals fans, a lot of cheers for when he came up to the dish. I'm not saying there was no energy, but if you get 30,000 people in the stands rooting for you, I do think that it's going to feel slightly different, especially because you'll be at your home stadium where you plan on spending a good chunk of your career, you know, in front of your home fans, kind of making that debut. I expect kind of a big spectacular thing. Now, what I'm hoping for, unlike it feels like all the cool debuts I've been to from a performance standpoint were like for players it didn't work out for. Like I was at Jimmy Gobbles, as we've joked about, where he went seven scoreless, or Eric Skoglund's, who was very good in his debut.
Those, by the way, those you just don't even count. Like
no, like I know I'm in a major league debut, but everybody's not.
I'm
like,
talking about top.
But
truly
Skoglund,
top,
it was because like his dad, and he was emotional after, and like there was this whole thing. It was
but I'm
kind
talking
of a,
about top prospects in baseball. Kind of Alex Gordon's
Bobby's,
debut, Hosmer, Bobby.
I was at all three of those.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like everybody that you know. Heck, I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if we get a, like, I don't know what we're going to decide as a fan base, I guess, in Kansas City for the, is it just a let's go Jack? Is it a let's go Cags? I don't know what sounds better and what's going to, you know, sound better throughout the stadium. There's got to be something. I don't know if it's tonight, if it's after a big hit, what it is, but the crowd will quickly pick up on it. I can't wait for that moment tonight. Heck, Jack Caglione, I think, told Joel Goldberg, if I can speak, said that after the series in Chicago, that in a weird way, he's more looking forward to tonight than he was his big league debut. Because and I'm imagining that's because of what we all expect this moment to be like tonight, with hopefully 30,000 plus Royals fans, you know, acknowledging his debut.
I hope he has like one of those like home debuts to remember. Puts a ball in the damn fountains, or he just hits one of those mammoth ones, right? Banks off the bottom of the, you know, the crown vision there in center, hits the concourse up there in right. Like, I hope it's not just a debut where everyone cheers and is happy and we're all good. Because, like, Roman Anthony, right? He made his debut for the Red Sox last night, went 0 for it. It's fine. Yeah. Jack Caglione didn't get a hit in his major league debut. He's obviously had a number of hits since then. But for his first game at Kauffman to come with his first career home run, that would be cool. The only problem on, and I'm not trying to, like, knock down the energy in the building, but the pitching matchup tonight. Ugh,
it's a great matchup. Bubic
gonna
first
be
Fried.
A little tough on the hits department, most likely, because Max Fried is 8-1 with a sub-2 ERA, and Chris Bubic has the best ERA in baseball. So, like, we very well might have a 1-0 game in the eighth inning tonight.
There's a chance, but you know, baseball's weird. Just when you think you're going to get that, watch both teams blow up offensively or something like that. But yeah, this will be if he gets one out of the ballpark tonight for his first big league homer. It feels like it would have to probably happen later in the game against a reliever than the starting pitcher. But you never know.
Yeah, I agree.
Baseball stuff like that, but I'm fired up for tonight, man. I'm very fired up to head out there. The Drive's going to be broadcasting live from Kauffman Stadium this afternoon from 2 to 6. So if you're heading out there, we were saying I don't know. The gates usually only open on weekday games an hour before first pitch. I don't know if they'll change that.
If they're trying to get 30,000 people through the turnstiles, ideally, you would think maybe a little early. If someone from the Royals is listening, can I request a 30-minute early opening?
Noah Cameron. Sorry.
Oh, it is Noah Cameron tonight. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's. I think I got you. I think I got you saying Bubic. That's my fault. But
he's also been incredible. So the pitching matchup remains. Noah Cameron's allowed 1 or 0 earned runs.
That's my fault.
In every single one of his starts. The problem is for Cags is that Max Fried is one of the best starters in all of baseball this year. But the Royals, and all, you know, like honestly, to their credit, since Cags has been called up, whether it was just the juice that they needed, gold, or the energy that they needed outside of it, or Cag's presence in the lineup makes him deeper. In the 6 games since he's been called up, the team's hitting .309 with 10 homers and 20 extra base hits. So, like, they're slugging a little bit in the time since he's been around. And I think against the Yankees, a lot of time, you and I talked about this yesterday, it'd be really big to get a series win against the Yankees after getting a losing series against the White Sox this weekend. It kind of resets the energy as the Tigers and the Yankees have just been battling for, no, we're the best, no, we're the best, and everyone else has been stuck in the wash.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Yankees in their last 10 games are also 5-5. The Royals are 5-5 with a 292 batting average and a 4.09 ERA, and they've been outscored by 3 runs over the last 10 games. The Yankees are 5-5 with a 255 batting average. Their batting average has worked. Now, they're better with runners in scoring position, but it's just funny.
They hit more homers, typically, but the Royals have been hitting those.
And they got runners on base when Aaron Judge is hitting home runs. That's the other thing that's going to, I'm sure throughout the series, unfortunately, it'll be obvious. I would love to say they're going to shut down Aaron Judge, but in the regular season, nobody has. Aaron Judge is the MVP award's already over in baseball. Aaron, for the American League, Aaron Judge is the MVP. Like, it's basically over. He's minus 8,000 or 10,000 now to win it. It's crazy. And what he has done this year is absolutely absurd. So, and of course, today locally and everything, it's all about Jack Caglione and his home debut. But this series, like, there's still part of me at some point during this series appreciate a little bit what we're seeing from Aaron Judge too. I hope the Royals shut him down. But what he is doing right now, I know last year we all think Bobby should have won MVP over Aaron Judge. But this year, Aaron Judge is running away with it over everybody. I mean, just destroying the competition for MVP this year.
Yeah, it's not particularly close. He's having such an incredible year that it's probably going to be a runaway double win for him, as in back to back. But yeah, look, I'm not taking away. It's still impressive to see a guy like that. I hope he goes 0-15
sure,
in this series.
Of course, as do I.
For the obvious reasons. Somebody over on Twitch, great suggestion. Can we get a throwback 6-10 day at the K? You know, it is 6-10 after all. It's June 10th.
Yeah, we just don't do that anymore. You know? We just don't do that.
96.5, 9-6?
September 6th.
At 5 p.m.
At 5 o'clock.
The Twitch said only Carrington gets to celebrate.
Yeah, there's no 6-10 day anymore. We don't do that. Yeah.
Wait, September 6th, is that a weekend?
I have no idea.
Well, I was thinking about the Chiefs debut day.
The Chiefs are the day before, aren't they?
Yeah, I was thinking they were the 5th.
September 5th.
Yeah, so it's a Saturday.
The 6th, I don't know if the Royals are in town.
We'll see you all at 5 o'clock somewhere in the city on the 6th.
We don't do those days anymore, unfortunately. That's in the past.
Yeah. You know, maybe another time, you know? I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, home debuts are cool. I keep anticipating Caglione to hit one of these monster home runs at some point. So, you know, I got to assume that tonight's going to be kind of a cool moment again. Let us know what your favorite ones are. I'm just curious now. 913-586-7965. What's your favorite debut? I've already talked to this. Baseball does it better than anyone else. Because even for the NFL, I don't remember everyone. Because you didn't know Mahomes was Mahomes yet.
Correct.
And you don't know Jack is Jack yet, but you get like 5 years of buildup about it.
Well, we didn't 11 months.
No, I know.
But 12 months.
In this case, typically, no. But I just meant in baseball. But yes. But so like, in football, it's like, I don't remember everyone being like, the home debut for Patrick Mahomes. Like, first home game. I don't remember people even discussing that way. Yeah. I don't know if it's a uniquely baseball thing.
Some of it is just the nature of baseball. But I do think that last week, even when we were in St. Louis and his just MLB debut.
I went to Mahomes' first
game. That was bigger.
Arrowhead.
Caglione's debut is bigger than any other debut we have seen. It just is by the nature of where social media is at today and the accessibility of even, you know, minor league games that you can watch and the way highlights from minor league games, you know, are able to spread. The fact that we're talking about a guy that has power. And so naturally people love home runs. Right. And so that's something that gets people talking more than even if a guy in the minors, unless you're Paul Skeens and you were striking out 12 guys a game, you know, that stuff doesn't usually, you know, if somebody was hitting just 350 with no power in the minors, that's not having the same buzz. Even if the guy's not striking out or whatever, right. It just doesn't have it. Hell, Jacob Wilson in the American League is going to probably win Rookie of the Year, the way things are trending. And I feel like outside of like diehard baseball people, nobody really is talking about how great of a season he's having because he's not somebody that's just going to go out there and provide the 480-foot home runs on a consistent basis or something like that. But I think the debut of Jack Caglione is bigger. I agree with you because of the fact that Patrick Mahomes, yeah, we were all excited at the time, but nobody knew he was going to go on to win 3 Super Bowls, hopefully more, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, and I think there's just more reservation about the possibility of it coming together for a football player than when a baseball player comes up and they're the top whatever 10 prospect in the entire sport. People do just kind of assume that you're going to do that. I will say congrats, first off, to our guy Vinny Pasquantino for successfully winning AL Player of the Week after hitting 500 this week to his own credit, which was obviously impressive
in
its own right. But it also reminded me of what should be the thought going into this and what you and I were having to, weirdly enough, argue against in the early part of the season when Vinny was off to a bit of a slow start, Gold, which is Vinny getting AL Player of the Week, hitting 350 or 360 or whatever it is since the beginning of May this year, goes back to the same thing. The long-term play is not, well, then that eventually means they got first base figured out. If Jack Caglione is really good, let's figure out the rest. The long-term play is Jack Caglione and right and Vinny Pasquantino at first base makes for a formidable middle of the order lineup, especially when you consider that you got Bobby Wood Jr. at shortstop too. All that reminded me is they got a lot of good future in the middle of their order if Jack Caglione pans out to be the kind of player he's capable of being. And Vinny just, in my opinion, further proving that for the second year in a row, he's staying incredibly healthy. Last year was a very weird one, but up to that point, he had played 98% of the games. I understand he still got hurt, so he's got to make it through this year to like give you the reassurance.
No, I'm with you.
But he's playing every day again, not minor injury stuff, and he's, again, hitting really well again.
Yeah, I'm not trying to downplay what he's done, but I think on June 10th to say he's healthy, he's playing healthy again. The issue, like, it's June 10th. I mean, we still have a long ways to go. I think it's a bit early to take the victory lap on him having a full season.
Every day again, and he's hitting again.
Yeah.
The bat is proving itself once again, I guess.
For sure.
A bigger part.
And it makes me wonder if he's now fully, I mean, this is a question we'd have to ask him. You know, we know he came back in September or October, I'm sorry, for an injury just because it was the playoffs, right? And he wanted to be out there and be in the lineup.
Yeah.
If it wasn't the playoffs, he probably doesn't come back. So who knows? Was that part of the reasoning off to a slow start? Was it adjustments in the offseason, or was it, hey, he still wasn't fully
Was
it just baseball? So no, he's been as hot of a hitter as anybody in baseball the last 3 weeks or so.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. I'm just saying on the, hey, so he's healthy again. I think it's a bit early to take the, he's going to be a fully healthy all year thing. We said the same thing this point last year, and then he had a freak injury, unfortunately, with Urseg.
I would just say for two straight years, the shoulder thing was always the bigger concern for me because it would keep him out for like a week or 2 weeks or a couple of months or those things. He's in the lineup every day. And this goes back to the same thing. The health thing, Gold, would go back to the, like, if the Royals internally were talking about extensions or buying out arbitration years or all this other stuff, that's where you'd have to toe the line. But Cags, you got 6 or 7 years worth of control.
Sure.
Vinny, you still have years and years worth of control. And Bobby, you got locked up for a while. You got the middle of your order pretty well set, just as long as Jack Caglione is anywhere close to it. But Vinny getting AL Player of the Week and the way he's hitting, he's actually hitting. He is above his career average, near his career on base percentage, like right at his career OPS, and he got off to a bad start in April. He's still making up all the difference. And so if you just need it, and we've talked about this before, last year was a big, like, prove it, Vinny, you're not just from a health thing, but like prove that you're an everyday big leaguer who hits like an everyday big leaguer. He did that and more, and he's off to that again this year after the slow start. Do you think he'd approve this shirt, or would he tell me not to wear it? What's your gut?
Knowing
your
his
gut
personality, type? I think he'd think it's funny. Yeah.
Okay.
Funny. I think he would think it's funny.
I have not sent it
to him. He might say you're out of your damn mind too, but I don't know. But I think he would think it's funny.
He might. Yeah, it might be that. He might say you're out of your damn mind.
I would say as far as him contract-wise, because of the control, I mean, this is the reality of, unfortunately, of if you
kinda
don't
hate this about
if
baseball,
you don't get called up when you're like 21 or 22 and you have to wait a little bit longer, they have enough control if they wanted to. They could ride this all. And by the way, from a business standpoint, they should. They have 3 more years of arbitration after this season. They can ride this all the way till he's 31 years old before they would actually have to pay him big money.
Now, he'll get a pay raise.
Oh, arbitration.
He won't be making $800,000 anymore.
No.
He'll based be making a couple mil.
Based on his production. I'm just saying, like, in terms of a extension, in terms of a brand new contract, they don't have to do that for 3+ years.
My guess is that an extension for him would look like, hey, see those 3 years of arbitration? We'll pay you about what we would expect, or we'll pay you right on pace of what you would expect to make in those 3 years. If you continue hitting like a player like this, why don't we tack on a couple of years? Let's get you to age 31, 32 and ride out a good chunk of your career here in Kansas City. That's what I think an extension would look like for Vinny Pasquantino. I've already made it very clear. I just don't think as much trouble as the Royals had developing hitting and finding hitting for all these years, and even still at the beginning of this year, I continue to have questions about it. I'm not willing to give away players who can hit in the middle of my lineup under any circumstance. I love that he got AL Player of the Week, and it just further cements the, I'm not saying you are.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be a hater or take money away from anybody. I'm just saying from a Royal sense,
they don't have to
do anything till 2029.
Technically,
I mean,
no.
They don't.
No. They have been willing to buy out these arbitration years before, so We'll see whether or not they're able to do that or willing to do that again. That's obviously part of what they did with the Vinny Pasquantino contract too, but it'll be interesting to see. They've got plenty of control. They got the middle of their order under control for the next at least three seasons after this one.
Yeah.
Because Vinny for 3 years, Bobby's under contract for more than 3 years, and so is Jack Caglione. So, and Jonathan, they got 1 year after this one, so not the top of their order, but at least the middle order. Hell, even Mikel Garcia's probably got...
I think he's higher on the list of a guy I would extend, honestly.
Interesting, because of the defensive aspect?
Yeah, and just also, I think at this point in time, with where he is at, and he's been healthy throughout his entire career for the most part, too.
I know, but just Vinny's just been the more consistent player, in my
sure.
opinion.
Oh, for sure.
The more,
and they've like, got control under Mikel as well. Same kind of thing. They don't have to do anything anytime soon.
Yeah, what's his control like? Have you looked?
I haven't.
He came Let's up see. About the same time as Vinny, didn't he?
Mikel Garcia.
I feel like they came up in the same year, so it's probably just 3 years of arbitration after this one. It's probably identical. Oh, so, it's actually one additional year. They bought
so Mikel's 25.
They got one more year.
Yeah, they have till 2029. He's a little bit... He's 2 years younger, though.
Yeah.
He's 2 years younger than Vinny.
Yeah, that helps when you're talking about contract extensions. You know what? Sign them all. Just money.
That's right. It's not our money.
Spend it.
Take care of everybody.
You want some of our money to build stadiums? I want you to spend some of your money to pay for players. Seems actually that is I think that's legitimately part of what Sherman has been doing. Like, I think we talked about this on the air. I definitely think part of the like free spending ways of the last 12 months
being competitive.
The Royals being competitive, staying competitive, being active in the trade markets, being aggressive with call-ups for Jack Caglione. Yeah. I think a lot of these things are circled around the idea of we want to be competitive and prove to this city that we're going to be competitive in the long run, which of course I'm for. Last night, did you guys watch the hockey game?
I didn't need to because I told you I wasn't going to watch probably till the second or third period. And by the time that point happened, Florida was already in full control against Edmonton. The reason why we bring this up, of course, a little cash out bro update. You guys have been following the story with us. Guy has two legs left in a parlay to win $270,000. He's had multiple cash out offers. He could have cashed out and locked in $123,000. He keeps
107
saying,
last night if he wanted to.
Yeah, and he keeps saying, nope, I'm riding this thing out. He was in Florida for the game. He needs the Oilers and the Thunder, and Florida just cruised past Edmonton.
Lost 6-1. This was him before the game. And I'll be honest.
This isn't at the game. He was answering fan comments.
He's
sitting
in the seats.
Yeah.
This thing is exactly where I'm just like, he obviously doesn't need the money based on the way he's talking, but also borderline the comments he reads in this, and Drew pointed this out before, these could have been written by me at this point.
All right. Life gives you 123K and you say no, fully praying on this kid's downfall now. Listen, bro,
that's
look
you.
Where I am. We're winning this. I mean, what does it matter? What does it matter? I'm having the time of my life. All right. Clout is a hell of a drug to potentially miss out on 100K off $13. It would suck to lose 270K more.
What?
All right, last one. 123K, brother, what were you doing? I was riding, and I still am. Excited, let's go Oil, baby.
This video is exactly why I don't like this kid. He's just like, he's like, look where I am. Like, look how much better my life is than yours. You could have been at that game for the Stanley Cup Finals. You could have flown private and still had cash in your pocket. Florida's going to win this, too.
I think they are as well.
He's losing this bet.
I think so as well.
If he's riding out forever, he's losing.
I think the Florida Panthers are going to end up winning the Stanley Cup, and he's going to get nothing unless he changes his mind. And by now, I think it's pretty obvious he's not cashing out. Doesn't it seem that way?
Are they letting... Is he kind of held against his will here where BR's like, hey, man, we're not doing this anymore if you cash out? Because I think that's part of this whole shtick
is... Well, I think he likes the attention, yes. I don't think Bleacher Report... Like he didn't sign a contract that for Bleacher Report to say, I can't cash out at DraftKings. That'd be completely idiotic. But I do think you're right that he likes the clout that he's getting. Here we are. We're talking about him again. And Bleacher Report has been following him for the last couple of weeks. They've sent him to this game in Florida to provide more content for them. But I don't know. I think the kid is now at the point where he's literally all in.
I'm going to be honest, though. I agree with you. I think I agree with you more now, Cody, than I even did beforehand. Where him saying this is... Well, you're going to miss out on the 123K. It's like, well, it's worth it.
I'm having the time of my life. Yeah. I don't think he needs the money.
He goes, well, look where I'm at. I'm having the time of my life. As if losing it doesn't matter to him. As if he loses the bet, it's fine because look at my life and I'm doing well.
Yeah. Because I'd be having the time 100%. Of my life if I had $123,000 today.
I'm still not rooting for him to lose all his money like you are.
I'm not rooting for him to lose, but I understand the person that he is, Cody, based on what you've said now.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't disagree that he definitely is what we've kind of described, But I'm not rooting for him to lose 270K and also deal with the repercussions after that. You can say like, yeah, I think quote unquote, oh, he's going to get taught a lesson. But also I think he's going to be absolutely devastated and crushed. He's making dumb decisions. That's all true.
Yeah, but look at how good his
I'm not rooting for the house, by the way, as the text line says, because there's other people who have money on the Panthers or somebody else who won 123,000 based on that. It's the individual, not the house versus.
I don't know. But normally though, rooting for the casino over the individual better is it like what are you doing
but I'm just assuming there are other individual bettors on the outside and he's causing me to do this. Typically I would say
I would not be in that situation.
Yeah. Whoever texted in though and said he's only out $13 is just missing the entire thing.
The kid's also
technically
wrong,
yes, but also no, he's not. He's out 123 based on what he had to
he's
cash
passing
out.
On $123,000 money he will never ever have again.
The biggest flaw in his argument is you lost out on 123, well, it hurt worse to lose 270. You at no point lost 270. He's viewing it, and the more you wager, I think the more you understand this notion of it, which is, no, you've made 130 or 123. You've not lost 147, right? You haven't lost 147. You made 123. Once you start thinking about the gap between the cash out and that as losses, that's when we were never getting this kid back.
Yeah,
you start viewing it that way, then we were never getting him back on board with the cash.
I still hope
he takes the cash out.
So do I.
I hope if it's 82K today, he takes the 82K and just is happy
with so.
It.
I hope so for his sake, but I'll stick with what I said last Wednesday whenever we first started talking about this. I think the minute he passed on 123,000, he was never going to take a cash out offer below that because
I think you're probably
right. Once it dipped to 100 or if it dips to 90, in his mind, that's never going to be good enough anymore because 123,000 was right there. And he's now going to know that like, oh, I was at that number. Like, I just don't think there's any way.
He has to wait till Thursday now, technically, because Wednesday, even if the Pacers win and they go up 2-1, the Thunder is still going to be favored in the series once again, like they were when the Pacers won game three. It really comes down to Thursday or whatever day the next Oilers-Panthers game is.
All right, up next, though, let's go to Jefferson City and find out the latest on the stadium bill front that could impact where the Chiefs and Royals call home over the next 25 years or so. Jonathan Katz from Fox 4 joins.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLBPlus.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This next.
We are back here on Cody and Gold. We'll get back to the Royals and obviously Cags' debut in just a bit. But in Jefferson City, another huge week when it comes to the stadium front and what could happen in the future homes for the Royals and the Chiefs. And someone that has been covering this for, I don't know, it's like 2 years or more at this point in time is Jonathan Katz over at Fox 4. He is in Jefferson City. All right, Jonathan, just kind of lay out where we're at here. We know it passed out of the Senate last week. Now it is all about the House, correct?
Yeah, and I think the thought was that because this passed out of the House in the end of the regular session in May, this should be easier to pass out of the House later this week. So there's a committee meeting that's happening today at 11, just like there was a committee meeting that happened last Tuesday on the state Senate side. if the House committee passes this today, it should go to the floor for all 100 and to vote on it tomorrow. One thing that I guess I'm kind of keeping my eye on is there was a provision added to the state Senate bill last week that the House will be voting on, you know, potentially tomorrow, that has a property tax credit for a majority of the counties in Missouri that are rural. You know, so we're excluding Jackson County, we're excluding Boone County where Columbia is, we're excluding St. Louis County, Greene County where Springfield is. The question is whether or not that changes any House members' vote fairly easily out of the Missouri House of Representatives just last month.
I said, what changed on the Senate side at least? I know that we've talked about, you know, like that it passed in the House and so we would expect it to. It was close, yeah. But what did they change that made him do it? Was it just like the, you know, deadlines spur action, we're done with the infighting, they called us back for this special session kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, I think the property tax credit part that I just mentioned is the only part that I think would potentially change some of the House lawmakers' minds. So there are 163 House members. I wrote this down. So obviously a simple majority would be 82. And when this passed out of the House in May of this year, at the end of the regular session, there were 108 House members that supported it. However, when it passed out of the House in May, it didn't have this property tax cap portion for the rural parts of Missouri. So I guess my point is that could change some of the House members' opinion on this, and maybe that 108 drops down to say 90, or it's closer to that 82 number. So I guess that's the part that I'm looking at this week as to whether or not there is a little bit less support for the stadium package, because all of a sudden it has this property tax cap that could impact municipalities, county governments, in more of the rural parts of Missouri. But I guess we won't know that until A, the committee meeting today, and B, the full House floor vote, which could be tomorrow.
Alex has mentioned this before in the show, but one thing we know about Jeff City is that it's full of more Cardinals fans than Royals fans. Is there a problem? Did they run into any kind of issue where everyone knows this bill is currently for the Chiefs and the Royals? Is there a problem with, like, everyone else on the other side of the state being like, man, I don't want to pay for that?
Right. I think there is a problem, but there's not enough of a problem for it to not pass. Now, I could be wrong if we listen to a committee hearing and things start blowing up, but after listening to there being a lot of conversation on the House floor in May of this year, just a month ago, there was a lot of concern from the House reps on the east side of the state. However, there is going to be other bills taken up this week, whether it be the capital improvements bill that for whatever reason didn't get picked up by the full House and it was never voted on. That angered House reps on the east side of the state. A capital improvements bill should be talked about again this week in the special session. There is a bill regarding cancer research or the reactor at the University of Missouri that will impact mid-Missouri. That should be talked about this week in Jefferson City when it comes to the Missouri House of Representatives. Therefore, if House reps outside of the west side of the state, outside of Kansas City, Missouri, if those House reps get what they want, maybe they will support this stadium package that Governor Kehoe wants.
We're talking to Jonathan Katz of Fox 4. He is in Jefferson City following the stadium bill for both the Chiefs and the Royals there, specifically in the Missouri House today and really this week. For those that are listening and trying to figure out a timeline here, it has to get done this week, correct? This is it.
Yeah, I would assume so. I do think this is going to be more, I would say, I wrote this in my 12 o'clock script. The biggest hurdle seemed to be the Missouri State Senate last week because they could filibuster it. I would think we'll have a full House floor vote Wednesday. Therefore, on Thursday, we would need to come down to Jeff City if we're only covering stadium stuff during the special session. But I was also told by one of the House reps that their goal is to not change a comma when it comes to the state Senate bill that just passed last week. So it's a copy and paste of what happened just last week.
I know this might be too early in the conversation for it, but like we talk about like this with players, hometown discounts. Is there any sense you get from like the people you talk about who represent the state that the Chiefs or the Royals would take what still appears to be, in my opinion, less money from Missouri than could be promised on the Kansas side to get to stay where they want to stay? Let's say a renovated Arrowhead or downtown baseball for the Royals.
So I will push back in that I don't know if the private bond market is there on the Kansas side to get you to 70% privately financing a Kansas stadium for the Chiefs or for the Royals. And so if the state of Missouri can provide 50% of the construction costs of a new baseball stadium or a renovated Arrowhead, and that's not counting a local contribution, plus you add in the fact that I don't know if a Kansas Star Bond package can truly cover 70% of the stadiums. Maybe it's 60, maybe it's 55, somewhere around there. That's why I think the Missouri package is just as competitive as the Kansas one, especially for the Chiefs, because I think they could win a vote of the people in Jackson County if they wanted to go back to the voters of Jackson County by themselves. That's why I think the Missouri package is just as competitive, if not more competitive, than the Kansas one.
It seems like this is all kind of coming to a head by the end of this month with the Star Bonds expiring, but I guess there's always all these other scenarios. What would the chances be of Kansas, if the bonds expire? Could they, let's say they expire and the Chiefs or Royals hadn't made a decision, could they have a special session in August all of a sudden and they go and redo something?
Okay, so that's a good question. The Legislative Coordinating Council is the group in Kansas made up of elected leadership. Okay, so elected leaders in the State House and the State Senate. If they feel like they are close to inking a deal with either team, but it's not done by that June 30th deadline, they could extend the Star Bond package. However, Kansas State Senate President Ty Masterson, the Republican from Andover, east of Wichita, told our John Holt this past Sunday that if they feel like they're close, they'll extend it, but they're not going to extend it for a year. They may extend it for a month or two, but they're not going to extend it up to a full year, which they have the ability to do, but it sounds like they're not going to do. They may extend it if they feel like they're close, the Kansas Department of Commerce is close to a deal with one or both teams.
We keep making our best guess, so I'll ask you, since you've been covering this entire time, if you had to guess most likely scenario at this point, would you say one on each side of the state line, both in Missouri, both in Kansas? Like, what are you leaning towards, I guess, at this point? I know. Look, I can't guess it either. I'm like, I feel like I'd still guess one of each, but, like, I don't know.
So here's what I'll say. I think the Chiefs have a better chance of staying in Missouri. But when you talk to the mayor, again, if you're following this closely, the conversation on the Missouri side has always been that if the Royals are going to stay in the Show Me State, the city of Kansas City, Missouri, is taking over negotiations with the Royals, and that's because Washington Square Park, which seems like the spot for the Royals. Of course, Clay County is still in play, although I talked to Jason Withington last week, a Clay County commissioner, who says they haven't had formal negotiations with the Royals since 2023.
Right.
So I guess my point is if the Royals are going to stay in the city of Kansas City, Missouri, and the state of Missouri, it sounds like it's going to be Washington Square Park, where city rules are different and you may not need a vote of the people if there can be enough tax redirections from the city of Kansas City, Missouri, to state to secure a ballpark in Missouri and in those city limits. But because I would say that it's easier for the Chiefs to win a vote of the people in Jackson County, I think their chances are better at staying in the Show Me State than the Royals. But the Royals are going to have to weigh their options, whether a star bond can truly get you that 70% or it can get you 60%, and how much money can the city of Kansas City, Missouri fork over without there being a vote of the people to get to where they want to be, excluding the private financing part of their ownership group.
Jonathan Katz of Fox 4, I feel like you're just taking up residency in Jefferson City these days, so we appreciate you giving us some time.
Thank you, guys.
There you go. Jonathan Katz here earlier today. We had a chance to catch up with him as he is in Jefferson City getting set for, as he mentioned, the House committee meetings today, which are going to start about 15 minutes or so. A couple interesting things there. I mean, some of this is still truly a wait and see type of game.
For sure.
But also what he acknowledged about that maybe there's some more uncertainty on the star bond side of it and how much...
Can they go up to 70%? Do they have enough people loaning money to get there?
Can the private bonds actually get to the 70%?
Is there any hesitation that because of, like... Most of them have worked out there. The star bonds have mostly been largely successful, Gold. But there are a couple of failures, including Prairie Fire and some of those other areas that didn't work to that level.
I wonder whether or not.
No, I agree.
Yeah, not anywhere near the size of this.
It's hard to imagine like a chief star bond not paying itself back, I guess, is part of it. But I mean, to his point, if there are real people genuinely concerned, Gold, that they would not get the 70%, well, then you and I have always stood with the thing and be like, well, you know, Kansas still has the better numbers. Are you taking the hometown discount to do downtown baseball or to get renovated Arrowhead instead of a new stadium or whatever, right? That would go in there. But if he's saying the numbers are closer to even, the only thing that comes out of that is when I hear him say that, my biggest takeaway is if Missouri gets this passed in the House, and he does not sound overly concerned that that will be the case at the moment, unless today at 11:30 in those or 11 o'clock at that committee meeting, things get sour in a hurry. I'm having a hard time imagining Kansas getting both. And, there was a time in which I thought that was plausible. I find it very far-fetched that if Missouri gets this passed...
Yeah, assuming the bill passes,
Yeah, that they're getting both the Chiefs and the Royals.
I agree.
Not one.
I agree.
But there's a chance they'd get one or zero, not both. Both would just feel like the longest shot version of this equation if they were to get it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's fair to say. Also, what was notable from Jonathan Katz there is that, yes, the star bonds expire at the end of the month, but there is still a scenario where perhaps if they think they're close to landing the Chiefs or the Royals, that they say, all right, we can get together and do a one-month extension or a two-month extension, but they're not going to extend it for a year. That was basically what Katz was saying over at Fox 4. So I appreciate him giving some time. I mean, there is still, as someone said, there's still way too many variables, 100%. There is still a lot of different things out there.
We don't know if infighting could happen. It's still Missouri legislature.
I'm not even talking about the bill in Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
The variables even after the bill and how you get to an endpoint of where each of these teams are going to do. I do think we're close. I do think we're closer than ever, if that makes sense.
I still think by July 1, one of the two teams will announce with a rendering where they're going.
Mm.
And I don't know why I'm that optimistic.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't be that optimistic. But I think by July 1, I'll have a rendering in my hand from one of the two teams saying, I'm going to Washington Square Park. We're building a new stadium at the Legends. Whatever it is, right?
I hope you're right. I'm a little skeptical that July 1 we get that, but I definitely, if this passes in Missouri this week, that gives you 2 weeks of runway.
He said June or July, if you remember, for John Sherman, so it could be a little... And he's given a few other deadlines over the last 2 years that they have not quite hit in the we're sure hoping to have this squared away by then. It continues to be fascinating to me because I do want to know which side of the state line they're going on, which projects... Because there's the crazy part about it, the variable thing, Gold, is we have the biggest questions left. Are the Royals going to a different state? Are the Chiefs going to a different state? Are the Chiefs renovating like the second oldest stadium in the NFL? Are they building a new stadium? Does that mean it comes with what Nate Taylor was saying last week, which means maybe a Super Bowl would come to town one day? Are the Royals actually going to get downtown baseball? Are they going to the burbs? There's just so many things that have massive city-wide impact, development impact. I just feel like there's a lot of unknown still, or like things I want answers for because it just changes like the landscape of how we're built.
No question. No question about that. Hey, coming up in 10 minutes, we'll talk more about how the rest of this Royal season could play out in terms of playoff seating and playoff spots and everything like that. But I will say the trade deadline we know is 6 weeks-ish away.
Yeah.
More than that, actually, I think.
7 weeks?
Yeah, I think it's more like 7. And if I were to ask you right this second, let's say the trade deadline was this Friday. It's not, but let's say it was. Would you want the Royals selling, buying, standing pat? Which of those three would you want if it ended right now? And right now, I'll tell you, they're a game and a half out of a wild card spot. We know they're, what, 8-plus back?
They're only 2.5 games back of having the third best record in the American League.
Right. So if that trade deadline was this Friday, what would you want them to do? Basically, I'm asking you, if I told you they were a game and a half out of a playoff spot at the deadline, what would you do? I think it for me, if they are more than 3 spots out of a wild card near the deadline, I would say at minimum they stand pat. If not, you could talk me into selling. If they are occupying a playoff spot or if they're just a game back, then I want them buying at the deadline. That's kind of where I'm at. I think this past weekend, a lot of people, especially the way the first 2 games went in Chicago, people were trying to already talk themselves into like, all right, well, this team just isn't going to have it this year. It is what it is. I think we got to see how the next 6-7 weeks play out. But if they're like 5 out of a playoff spot at the deadline, no, I do not want them being uberly aggressive and trading away a top tier player to go do that. What's tricky with them is in addition to the playoff position, it's how likely do you think, you know, Lugo's, we all assume Lugo's opting out.
Yeah.
Mike Lorenzen's on a final year of his deal, and he now, who knows where he's going to be performing over the next month or so. And then Chris Bubich, are you confident you can get a long-term deal done? Those are also going to play into this, but that's the kind of the criteria I would set right now for me. And maybe it's not as simple as that, but if they are 4 or 5 out of a playoff spot, I do not want them buying at the deadline.
I will say my lean is, and the buying part is difficult because buy with control, I'm being talked into. Sure. As in, we're buying, but we're buying a player that has more than 1 year's worth of control. We're not just renting Johnny Cueto and Ben Zobrist and riding off into the sunset. We are buying a player. We're giving up Seth Lugo, or we're giving up Blake Mitchell, and we're going into the minor league system. And what we're buying back in return is a player that is going to be a Royal for the rest of this season and next season, or maybe even hypothetically the season after that. If you made me do it today, that's how I'd be buying. I'd be a buyer, but like it would have to be under very certain circumstances or standing pat. Selling, I think, is a disservice to the fan base because I don't think it's easy to recreate this level of pitching in very many years. This doesn't feel like a sell year to me because you got too many things in your favor. I would either be a buyer or be like, we're just going to hit better, and this pitching is going to get us there. It's just going to take us longer to get there.
So if I told you they were 5 out of a playoff spot.
And 5, I might be more interested. Okay. But as of today, they're a game and a half right?
I guess that's what I'm asking. So you said you don't want to be a seller. You said it's a disservice to the fan base.
I'd be more of a standing pat category.
Gotcha.
As in maybe if I'm selling, Lugo for a player that I have
control
of next
year. That's what I was going to ask. If they're 5 out at some point, closer to the deadline, I think you would absolutely have to consider trading Seth Lugo.
But it's not selling in the way that I normally think about selling. It'd be the way that I've actually been critical of the Royals in doing in the past, which is selling for other major league talent. It's trading for a different need that might not get me to the playoffs this year. It might, but it's also something that gives me the option to continue to have these guys in the house as I think the Royals are in a winning window. I think Bobby Wood Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, Jack Caglione, Jonathan India for another year. Like, that's a winning window, especially because you still have Reagans and all the pitching.
But if they're 5 out and they just hold on to Lorenzen and Lugo, guys that are gone after the end of the season, that's a mistake.
But that's where, like I told you, I would view it as standing pat because I wouldn't just be selling to like move on and I don't get anybody back who helps me this year. It would almost have to be in a way where I'm trading your strength. Trading your strength for my strength, and these guys are going to be a part of the team now and for the next couple of years, which feels like standing pat. I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul. I'm giving you some of my excellent pitching, and you're giving me some of your overflow. We've talked about the Red Sox as a good example. They've got one too many outfielders. We're trading off strengths, and am I better? I don't know. I might be. I view it as you're kind of the same, but it'd take a lot for me to be like a full seller. Like, here's players, I get nothing in return, and I'm just calling up Cam Devaney and whoever else, right, from the minor leagues to fill the gaps the rest of the way and just hoping those guys make it work together. That's almost a scenario. They'd have to be 7-8 games back of a playoff spot for me to be there. I don't want them doing what the Pirates did a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever it was, where they were currently in a playoff spot and sold.
That's why I said. Pretty clear on the circumstance. I think they have to be within a game, either occupying a spot or within a game or two of a playoff spot for me to want them to go out and actually be
chip
quote unquote
prospects.
Luckily, they don't have to make that decision today, but it was just interesting. We'll check back in, I'm sure, multiple times with this, but just wanted to throw out a hypothetical for you as well. I also think the way the injuries are happening in the bullpen right now, they might be making in the next like month a minor move to try to add to the bullpen. That was not something we thought they were going to have to do. I could see them.
Looks like he's on assignment, right? So he should be back soon.
I think just with the way the injuries are kind of piling up in the bullpen, and also the fact that Hunter Harvey's been on the, is now on the 60-day IL and everything, I wonder if we don't see in the next month what we would view as a minor trade to help out the pen a little bit, even though that's not the way we would have thought they would need to go a month or so ago. So we'll get back to that a little bit. Up next, though, thinking of the playoffs and the Royals, we'll talk about how this thing is going to go down to the wire, it looks like. And Carlos Beltran is trying to get Jack Caglione. Stay away. Next.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.